Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Partisan Gap, Why Democratic Women Get Elected But Republican Women Don't, by Laurel Elder, narrated by Janet Metzger. Publisher's note, in this audio edition, you will hear references to figures and tables present in the print and e-book formats of the book. Preface. The analyses for this book were completed in summer 2020 as anticipation was building for the 2020 elections. While no woman ran as either party's presidential nominee, Kamala Harris was elected in November 2020 as the first woman vice president of the United States. The 2020 elections also saw a record number of women run and win legislative office, shattering the record set in 2018. Yet the story of women's representation in elective office is a tale of two parties. For the past several decades, Democratic women have made steady, impressive gains in state legislatures and Congress, and they are on a clear path toward equal representation among their party's elected officials. Progress for Republican women, however, has stalled and in many cases reversed, leaving the Republican Party in government more male-dominated today than three decades ago. As a result of these contrasting partisan dynamics, as of 2020, there are five times as many Democratic women in Congress as Republican women. This book argues that the causes of the dramatic partisan gap among women in elective office are not short-term or idiosyncratic, but grounded in structural forces that have reshaped the American party system over the last half century. The racial, ideological, and regional realignments of the Democratic and Republican parties, transformations that have received widespread discussion in scholarly literature as well as the popular press, have also had a tremendous impact on women's representation, which has received far less attention. These structural changes to the American political landscape have resulted in favorable opportunities for the advancement of a diverse group of Democratic women and a more challenging and unwelcoming environment for Republican women office seekers. The argument advanced in this book suggests that the gains made by women in elective office in future election cycles will primarily be driven by Democratic women and will result in the continuation of the already dramatic partisan gap among women in state legislatures and Congress. The partisan gap among women officials is driven by the broad structural forces shaping contemporary American politics. As a result, the strikingly different levels of representation of Republican and Democratic women in elective office is unlikely to meaningfully abate until there is a new party realignment that reshapes the party coalitions and electoral environment in the United States. Introduction. The Partisan Dynamics of Women's Representation. There are many compelling reasons to be concerned about women's underrepresentation in elective political office. Women compose slightly more than 50% of the population in the United States, but remain dramatically underrepresented in all types of elective political office, from state legislatures to Congress to governorships. The United States has yet to elect a woman as president. Many believe American democracy would be healthier and stronger if its elected officials were a more accurate reflection of the public. Having women descriptively represented in political office allows women and girls to see people like themselves in positions of power and lends legitimacy to the political system. Women carry out their work as elected officials differently than men. They bring a distinctive set of priorities and operate differently than their male colleagues, driven by their distinctive experiences as women. And thus, the underrepresentation of women holds significant consequences for substantive representation. women's representation in state and national-level political institutions is particularly important as legislatures are passing or attempting to pass laws concerning health care, reproductive rights, sexual assault, pay equity, and the minimum wage, issues that disproportionately and differentially affect women. Moreover, having more women in elective office may help our political institutions function more effectively and better address our nation's problems. For those who value women's representation and believe that our democracy would be stronger if women were represented proportionally, the past several decades have been frustrating. Women's representation in political office has increased only at a very slow rate. In fact, in some years, the number of women in the U.S. House of Representatives and in state legislatures actually went down, challenging the assumption that progress toward equal representation by gender might be slow, but would inevitably happen. The 2018 elections marked a departure from this glacial progress as women smashed existing records for political office holding. The 116th Congress, 2019 through 2021, has within it a record-breaking 26 women in the Senate and 101 women in the House of Representatives. Women also made history in state legislatures, making a net gain of 256 seats. Women now form 29% of state legislators nationally. As of 2020, there are also 9 women governors, 18% of all governors, which ties an earlier record for the most women governors serving simultaneously. Behind the good news about women's increased representation in elected office is another story, one about the political parties and the different experiences women are having within them as office seekers and members of the party in government. While women's representation in elective office is at an all-time high, the size of the partisan gap between the representation of Democratic women and Republican women is also record-breaking. Today, an overwhelming majority of women in elective office are Democrats, while Republicans form a small and, in many cases, shrinking portion of women in elective office. An overwhelming 83% of the women in the 116th Congress are Democrats, while just 17% are Republicans. Put another way, there are more than 4 times as many Democratic women in Congress than Republican women. A large partisan gap also characterizes women's representation in state legislatures. Democratic women compose 68% of women state legislators, while Republican women form less than 1/3. While women in society overall are somewhat more likely to affiliate as Democrats than Republicans, the partisan gap among women elected officials far exceeds the partisan gap among women in the electorate. The magnitude of the partisan gap among women in Congress and state legislatures is all the more dramatic, considering it is a relatively new feature of American politics. Until the 1990s, women in elected office were equally likely to be Republicans and Democrats. The dramatic partisan gap among women in political office today is the product of 2 contrasting dynamics characterizing the trajectory of women elected officials within the 2 parties. Steady progress for Democratic women contrasted against stalled and, in some cases, reversed progress for Republican women. Democratic women on steady upward trajectory. For decades, Democratic women have made steady gains in state legislatures, the U.S. House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate. As a result, women form 38% of Democrats in the House and 36% of Democrats in the Senate in the 116th Congress. While women have not attained parity with men among Democratic elected officials, they are on a clear trajectory to do so. Democratic women now hold key leadership positions within Congress, most notably the position of Speaker of the House, held by Representative Nancy Pelosi, as well as 11 other leadership roles in the House and 5 leadership roles in the Senate, including the position of Assistant Majority Leader held by Senator Patty Murray. A number of Democratic women office holders have taken on highly prominent roles in the national media due to their 2020 presidential election bids, including Senator Kamala Harris, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, and Representative Tulsi Gabbard. Democratic women in Congress have increased in terms of their numbers and their national visibility, and they have also become a markedly more diverse group in terms of race and ethnicity. The 2018 midterms saw a number of historic firsts, including the election of Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, the first 2 Muslim American women elected to Congress. Omar is also the first Somali American and refugee from the continent of Africa to serve in Congress. And Tlaib is the first Palestinian American to serve. Charisse Davids and Deb Haaland, the first Native American women elected to Congress. Jahana Hayes, the first black woman to represent Connecticut in Congress. Ayanna Pressley, the first black woman to represent Massachusetts in Congress. Veronica Escobar and Sylvia Garcia, the first Latinx women to represent Texas in Congress. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, a Latina who also holds the distinction of being the youngest woman ever elected to Congress. 4 of these newly elected members of Congress, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a group collectively known as the Squad, have received very high levels of national attention for their progressive politics and clashes with President Trump over his policies and nativist rhetoric. What is notable about all of these path-breaking women is that they are all Democrats. Women of color now compose 43% of the Democratic women in Congress. In summary, this diverse group of Democratic women, through their strong numbers, their leadership positions, and their high levels of visibility, are well positioned to influence strategy, policy, and deliberation among Democrats in Congress. The steady progress of Democratic women can also be seen in state legislatures across the country. Election after election, women increased their representation among Democratic state legislators. Heading into the 2020 elections, women formed 42% of Democratic state legislators nationally. In 10 states, women actually form a majority of Democratic state legislators. In other words, women in the Democratic Party in government have exceeded all notions of critical mass to actually form the majority voice in their party's caucus in 1/5 of state legislatures. The Democratic women in state legislatures are also highly diverse, with women of color forming 36% of the group. As of 2020, Democratic women also hold 55 leadership positions in state senates and state houses across the nation. Stalled and reversed progress for Republican women. A strikingly different dynamic characterizes the elective office-holding trends of Republican women. Women's representation among Republican state legislators reached its high point in the early 1990s and then started going down. In a surprise to those who assumed women's representation in elective office would inevitably increase with time, women actually form a smaller share of Republican state legislators today than they did in the early 1990s. In contrast to their Democratic counterparts, Republican women state legislators are not diverse in terms of race and ethnicity. Slightly more than 97% of Republican women state legislators are white. While there are 55 Democratic women holding leadership positions in state legislatures, there are only 20 Republican women in such positions. Republican women have also struggled to maintain, let alone increase, their representation in Congress. In 2005, there were 29 Republican women in Congress. Yet, as of January 2019, that number had dwindled to 21. The struggle of Republican women is illustrated vividly in the 2018 election outcomes, which resulted in the number of Republican women in the U.S. House of Representatives dropping from 23 to a mere 13. Women compose only 8% of Republicans in Congress, less than they did two decades ago. In direct contrast to their Democratic counterparts, Republican women in Congress have not become a more diverse group. In the 116th Congress, all Republican women in the Senate are white, and all the Republican women in the House are white except one, Representative Jamie Herrera Butler from Washington, who is Latinx. There is only one Republican woman in a leadership position in the 116th House, and only one Republican woman in a leadership position in the Senate. Thus, Republican women form a very white, very small, and shrinking voice within the Republican Party in government. The emergence of the partisan gap among women in elected office and the stalled progress of Republican women are surprising for a number of reasons. While there are more women who identify as Democrats than Republicans, there are millions and millions of Republican women who could, in theory, run for political office. According to exit polls, 42% of women voted for Republican Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election, and 40% of women voted for Republican candidates in the 2018 congressional election, illustrating that although they are outnumbered by Democratic women, there exists a huge pool of potential Republican women candidates. In many states, particularly in the South, there are more women who identify as Republican and vote for Republican candidates than there are women who identify as Democrats. It is also important to note that women's partisanship over the late 20th century moved in the opposite direction of the partisan gap among women in elective office, with women becoming less Democratic. Another reason the partisan gap among women elected officials is surprising is that it has emerged across the same period that women have made tremendous progress in educational and professional attainment. Since the early 1990s, women have graduated from college at higher rates than men. Women are attending law school and entering legal careers, which are common launching pads for political careers, at similar rates as men. In other words, women have been steadily increasing their presence among what scholars have labeled the eligibility pool of candidates, individuals who possess the informal requirements of political office holders, including high levels of education, law degrees, and experience in professions, most notably lawyers, that often act as launching pads for political careers. Many predicted that as women's presence within the candidate eligibility pool increased, women's presence among those in elective office would also increase. This has happened, as the following chapters of the book illustrate, but only for Democratic women. Surprisingly, the growing pool of highly educated women with a range of relevant professional experiences has not turned into increasing representation for Republican women in elective office. In fact, over the same time that women have made significant gains professionally and in terms of education, the number of Republican women in elected office has stalled and, in many cases, gone down. The dwindling number of Republican women in elected office at the state and national levels is also surprising, given the robust, policy-oriented, grassroots activism and leadership among conservative women over the last several decades. While women have been active within the Republican Party and conservative causes across the 20th century, Political scientist Ronnie Schreiber documents how conservative women's organizations became particularly active in the 1980s, advocating for a range of policies that they viewed as helping women and families. With the emergence and prominence of the Tea Party movement in the 21st century, conservative women became what scholar Melissa Deckman refers to as a visible force with which to be reckoned. Yet this grassroots activism by traditionally conservative as well as Tea Party women has not resulted in significant inroads into state or national level elective office by Republican women. On the contrary, the Republican Party in government is more male-dominated today than in prior decades. Finally, the lack of progress for Republican women in political office is surprising because it has occurred across a period in which the Republican Party has flourished at the national and state levels. Although 2018 was not a good year for Republican office seekers, in the three decades prior, Republicans made historic gains. Republicans emerged from the 2016 elections in control of 67 state legislative chambers, the most the party has held throughout its history, as well as more than 4,160 state legislative seats, the most the Republican Party has held since 1920. Republicans also emerged from the 2016 elections with 33 governorships, more than at any time since 1922. On the national level, Republicans emerged from the 2014 elections with their largest majority in Congress since the late 1920s. Yet, as Republicans amassed power, seized openings, and turned legislative seats from blue to red, women in the party were not able to use these strategic opportunities to increase their presence among Republican elected officials. Republican wave elections, such as in 2010 and 2014, had no meaningful effect on women's level of representation among Republican legislators at the state or national level. Republican women came away from these red tidal wave elections just as marginalized among their Republican colleagues as they had been previously. Understanding the partisan gap among women in elective office. Why has such a dramatic partisan gap emerged among women in political office over the past three decades? What factors and processes have propelled the steady progress of Democratic women in elected office? And why are Republican women struggling to increase their numbers and even withering in terms of their levels of representation? This book seeks to explain the different dynamics of women's representation in elected political office across the two major political parties. The following chapters explore the role of several interconnected developments in American electoral politics, the ideological polarization of the parties, the evolving regional bases of the parties, the intersection of race, ethnicity, and gender, and the parties' contrasting approaches to recruitment in contributing to the markedly different partisan dynamics shaping women's representation. Understanding the reasons behind the partisan gap is crucial to understanding why women remain underrepresented in positions of political power in the United States and what can be done to increase women's representation. Researchers have explored a number of reasons for why women remain underrepresented in elected office, including gender differences in political ambition, the challenges of fundraising, the power of incumbency in reproducing white male power, and bias against women candidates by party officials, campaign donors, and voters. The reality, though, is that we cannot fully understand women's continued underrepresentation or progress in elective office in the United States without centering our analyses on the two political parties that dominate politics and structure every facet of American elections, from candidate emergence to voting behavior. As the statistics reviewed show, the dynamics of women's political office holding varies dramatically across the two parties. There is something very different happening when it comes to women candidates and women elected officials in the Democratic Party compared with their Republican counterparts. Only by carefully examining the factors helping and hindering women's representation within each party, separately and comparatively, as this book does, can we develop a full and accurate understanding of women in elective office today. The ideological polarization of the parties, the regional changes in the geographic bases of the parties, and the political incorporation of Americans of color, combined with the realignment of the parties over issues of race and civil rights, have dramatically restructured American politics in ways that have been explored extensively by scholars. These structural and, in many cases, seismic changes to American electoral politics and party coalitions have also had another profound impact that has received less attention. And that impact has been on the representation of women, and, more specifically, on the emergence and growth of the partisan gap among women in political office. The central argument of this book is that as the parties have realigned regionally, ideologically, and in terms of race, they have created the conditions for Democratic women to make steady progress, while making the path for Republican women office seekers much harder. Put another way, the partisan gap among women in elective office is not a short-term phenomenon, but rather the product of long-term changes in the electoral and party system. One implication of this argument is that shorter-term factors, such as the election of Republican Donald Trump as president in 2016 and the emergence of the hashtag MeToo movement, both of which have brought sustained attention to issues of sexual harassment, assault, and gender differentials in power, are not central causes of the partisan gap among women in office. There is evidence that Trump's election contributed to the record number of Democratic women who ran for office in 2018. Thus, in that way, his presidency has accelerated the growth of the partisan gap. Moreover, the embrace of white identity and white nationalism by President Trump may be widening the partisan gap among women in elected office by further realigning the parties over racial and ethnic lines. Yet President Trump's election alone did not cause the partisan gap among women in office, and it stands to follow that Donald Trump's exit from the presidency will not close the partisan gap or reverse the downward trajectory of Republican women in elective office. The long-term structural forces driving the partisan gap will remain at work beyond Trump's presidency, as well as through the peaks and valleys in mobilization related to the hashtag MeToo movement. The goal of this book, which is to better understand the structural causes of the partisan gap, is vitally important for a number of reasons. The growing partisan gap holds consequences for the future of women's representation, for policy debates and outcomes, and for the party's future recruitment efforts and ultimately for their viability as major parties in the 21st century. There is no path for women to achieve proportional representation and hence gender equality in elective office without women's representation increasing in both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Moreover, conservative and Republican women have policy priorities and perspectives on issues that are distinctive from those of conservative and Republican men. Without women gaining meaningful representation among Republicans in elective office, their distinctive views are not able to shape Republican Party priorities and policy outcomes. Having more Republican women in elective office would likely lead the Republican Party to approach both politics and policy differently. The partisan gap among women in elective office is also of vital importance to the political parties themselves. In interviews with me, as well as with national press outlets, a number of Republican Party elites have described recruiting and electing more women as, quite simply, a matter of party survival. Overview of the book. The remainder of this chapter provides an overview of the book, describing how it proceeds from theoretical frameworks to exploring empirical evidence about...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?